Welcome to the Simply His Coffee Shop. Yes. So we are continuing our discussion from last week on social etiquette. If you missed last week, go back and watch it. It was a really great show. But we are going to dive right in because there's still so much to cover on social etiquette and what is actually proper and how some of this is basically becoming a lost art.
Right.
Yes.
So, Sheree.
Oh, my gosh.
Personal bubble.
Oh, I'm telling you. So, when we were talking about, you know, the concept of, for this program, I started trying to be intentional with when I'm out in public or, you know, where I'm at and just cues and just listening and watching or whatever. And when I'm at a box store, and I'm in the checkout line. What makes me crazy is when people are, you know, you're trying to check out and they're like, so like I've on purpose now began to put a cart. I will get in front of my cart, keep my cart behind me so that they will stay off of me. Because the unfortunate thing about where we're at in society, my opinion, probably the opinion of a few in the room, is that, you know, because of social media and our phones and how we're so digitally connected to things, that we have really strayed from so many things that are just basic public etiquette, manners, you know, interactions. I try so hard to be so intentional, whether I'm in a restaurant or if I'm checking out. You know, the cashier will hand you your receipt or whatever. Thank you so much, Marcy. I appreciate that. I make sure that I say their name to them. You know, I think it was Zig Ziglar, I believe, but he said that the sweetest thing for somebody to hear is their own name. And so when I want to acknowledge somebody, I always make sure I know my server's name and repeat it to them every single time they bring something to the table or take it back. I'm huge on manners, huge, because, you know, when we were in school, we had to go through manners classes and, you know, the dinner. What's the fork? What's your glass? What's the thing? Where's the napkin go?
And can I take it one more step beyond that? What? My pet peeve. We're talking pet peeves. Please have enough courtesy to leave the room to go blow your nose. I cannot stand.
Oh, especially in a restaurant.
Especially after COVID. I'm just saying, you've got all these things all that we're concerned about with our space, and you got somebody right here blowing their nose behind in your back pocket.
Absolutely.
No, no, no. I kind of go, I do a Sheree on that one. And I mean, I'm pretty patient with people and the things, and I can overlook a lot, but that was really a hard one for me.
No, I get
it's
that.
It's like, okay, give me a minute here.
No, I get
that. I have
that.
To get, literally get out of my head and then resume my meal. Just saying.
I can remember in childhood, we were at a really nice, expensive restaurant, and a gentleman, and I don't even know that I was 10, and I remember him blowing his nose to the point that it has seared and ingrained itself on my soul.
But manners are not taught very often anymore.
Right.
Like, back in the day, I remember my grandma teaching me, even, you know, 50 years ago, everybody learned how to say please and thank you, you know.
Yes, ma'am.
Even on the Leave It to Beaver stuff.
Oh,
all of that was all about how you act in public and how you treat your elders and all of that kind of stuff. Whereas nowadays, it was actually really cute. We were at a restaurant the other night. I'm trying to teach Thomas. He's just barely turned six, so I, you know, five, six. I'm trying to teach him how to be a gentleman and how to have social courtesy. And the waitress had come up, and I tell him, you make eye contact, you look her in the face if you need something. And Kate needed a to-go box. So he saw her walking by, and he's like, excuse me, ma'am. Excuse me, ma'am. And she's like, yes, honey. And he's like, could we please have a box?
Perfect.
But, you know, and that's not to pat myself on the back at all, but that is a lost art. Kids are not being taught to communicate even with their server. And I always tell the kids, like, when Nita is really bad about it occasionally, where she doesn't want to make the eye contact with the server, and she's, like, asking, well, what do you want, whatever, and she'll kind of be, like, just looking off to the side, which I don't know why she does that. No idea. But I'm like, you make eye contact with her when you are telling her what you want to order.
Right.
It's that communication, again, like you're saying, half of your voice and your facial expressions emote what you're feeling. That's why so many people get in trouble from their texts, because you can't read the text the way that they meant to send it. You can read a sentence completely different than what it was intended. So you have to be careful with your text, but that's why talking face to face is so important, and it's such a lost art now with our kids.
It is, for sure. You know, a year ago, almost, it'd be a year next month, I lost my father, and he was such, I mean, like an over-the-top gentleman, over-the-top, with women, with, you know, men, all that kind of thing, and things that, he, as I was growing up, that has been so important for me is I never touched a car handle. Mm-hmm. I never touched a door handle.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just, if I'm on the sidewalk, he's on the outside.
Yes.
The sidewalk rule.
A sidewalk rule is very. And when I see other, you know, people that, even with children.
Yeah.
A mom with a child putting the child out to the parking lot side instead of, you know, and towards it. It's just something in me that's just like, why is this not a thing?
You know, I did not know anything about the sidewalk rule at all. This is to go to show you that it's been lost in translation, so to speak. Uh-huh. Yeah. This whole chivalry idea. I did not know anything about the sidewalk rule until I met my husband. And he started doing this thing where we would go out and he'd push me over to the other side. I'm like, why are you doing that to me? Stop it. I'm like, you don't know about the rule? And I was like, no. He's like, it's like the one guy code rule.
Right?
And I'm like,
right?
Oh, okay, that makes more sense. But I did not know the rule.
Yeah, I didn't know about it either. I had never heard about it, and then I started dating James. And he was real gentle about it. He didn't just shove me over. But he would gently redirect me and go stand on the outside. And about the 10th time he did that, I'm like, why do you always do this thing where you stand on the roadside? And he's like, it's a chivalry thing. It's a man's place. And I'm like, oh, why? I still don't get it. Like, you think I'm going to run out in the street or what's the deal? Like, I'm not five. No. I never did get an answer, and he still doesn't know. But the truth is, we were actually out on a date in Branson like a year ago, and he was doing it again. And I was like, you know, here's the cute thing. He doesn't even know why that rule exists, but in his mind, he was trained by his parents. Mm-hmm. This is a gentlemanly, polite thing to do. Yes. And so whether or not we ever corporately come to the understanding of what in the world that thing is for, he does it because he wants to show me as his wife that I am the husband of this woman. I'm going to do this chivalrous knight in shining armor thing. And it means a lot to me.
You know what it means?
No, I want to know. What does it mean?
It's protection. The man's role in that relationship, he is to be my protector. Yeah. And if he cannot protect me, I cannot trust him.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's sad, though, is that there are so many things like this, because with training Thomas, I get worried sometimes because I'm teaching him, you say yes, sir, yes, ma'am, kind of a thing. And then in this world today, so much of the chivalry stuff is offensive. It's it's this whole point of view that
makes me sad for
it
the
does
future
because
of our girls.
I am trying to teach Thomas when he said to the waitress the other night, excuse me, ma'am, I kind of sometimes like, please don't take offense. He's a little boy. He's trying to be nice. But sometimes, depending on who he may or may not say that to, they may get offended at that. So it's this whole line where I'm trying desperately hard as a mother to teach him to hold the door open for the women. And we'll tell him, hey, Thomas, you need to be a gentleman. Would you mind going and holding the door for everybody to come in? And he's like, Mom, I'm a gentleman.
Yeah,
he's proud of himself.
You know what bothers me about this whole weird, like, Facebook social life thing that's happening right now? That it's a new paradigm. And the experts in the field of psychology have not even caught up with the damage that it's doing. No. But one of the things that just occurred to me is I'm sitting here listening to us talk and I'm going, okay, 9 times out of 10, somebody will troll someone else online.
Right.
I mean, hateful, volatile words.
Right.
They would never say it in person.
In public, right.
But
they don't see the other person in person anyway, because we're decreasing away from human empathy. Interaction mm-hmm. person to person. So all they're getting is the hate. Yeah. Right. All they're getting is the constant download of hate. And who was the last person that trolled me on Facebook or YouTube or social media? That's never offset with what was in my generation or former. Mm-hmm. If this guy's going to troll me online, at least that girl at school was nice or whatever. We're just getting further and further away. COVID shut down the schools. And now, you know what I'm saying? Right. We're getting to that point where we're almost completely reliant upon digital social media technology type communication. What happens is that now all we have is trolling.
Right.
We're never held accountable face to face.
Right.
Absolutely. So we just do all of this backstabby type stuff and we get by with it.
Lack of compassion. Lack of empathy for your fellow human being.
Yeah. True.
It's depleted.
Yeah. Right.
And while we're on the topic of what the current social climate is.
Absolutely.
Speaking of chivalry, you do have this whole kind of, I don't know if you'd call it a movement or just kind of a phenomenon, but there's this new mentality that's kind of permeating our society that says, I am woman, hear me roar. I don't want a man to open the door for me. Mm. I can open my own door. Right. Or, you know what I'm saying?
Apply one of these so many different
the
ways.
The chivalry, the gentlemanliness, the social grace. Politeness of yesterday. It's almost like you're weak if you admit that you like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then you have people who are raised with grandma and grandpa teaching them, get the door, do the nice thing. This is the polite, the chivalrous thing. And they're so trepidatious at the end of the day. They're like, I don't know. You know, this girl that I'm talking to is saying, hear me roar. Do I offend her by opening the door for her?
Like can't do it herself.
Right. Yeah. Like almost making the impression that I don't think you're strong enough to open your own door.
You're so weak and
they're
feeble.
They're kind of darned if they do and darned if they don't.
True. That's very true. So on behalf of guys out there, you know, like my husband opens the door. It's the right thing to do. If you do it and somebody gets offended at you or upset with you, please just keep doing the right thing.
Absolutely.
You might have one person out of 50 that does that.
Yep.
And all you have to do is pull the card out of, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to offend you.
Absolutely.
And just be done.
That's true. Yes.
Yep. Because that's what I'm going to keep teaching Thomas.
Absolutely.
I mean, I said that, but I'm going to keep teaching Thomas, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, open the door, be a gentleman.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that is a lost art, but maybe he can show his future wife that he's a good gentleman and he's chivalrous
and
still.
And maybe it'll catch with people in his circle. You know, they'll learn something.
Yes. Well, and I think honestly, as a woman, and I mean a very strong woman, I know that I had intimidated a few of the younger guys that I had dated or whatever, and they made those assumptions about me too. Like, better not open the door for Donna. She's a go-getter. She'll bite my hand off. But the truth is, when James came along, he was just like, nah, I'm a real man. I'm going to do this because this is the right and chivalrous thing to do. And I was like, oh, I can actually chill out a little bit and enjoy this special treatment.
Absolutely.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I liked that.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
It's embracing your feminine, you know, like your energy, your feminine. And the thing that, you know, it's kind of like a bank deposit for me. You know what I mean? It's making a deposit into me as a girl that you're invested enough to protect me, to make sure that you're checking all the boxes, doing the things. I love that.
And for the young women who are listening in and thinking, I would never let a man get the door for me. I'm a woman, blah, blah, blah. Have a kid, and then suddenly, like, baby, can you take the baby?
You just get the door.
Just get the door.
Just get the door. As you're reaching up with your foot to get the door.
I know, right?
Car seat, diaper bag.
I know, right? Just like a pack camel. You got all this stuff and kids, and you're going to kick the door open.
So,
a real man knows how to pack a diaper bag.
Right? Yeah. Because a real dad doesn't babysit. It's his kid, too.
Right.
Yes. There you
go.
Just saying.
That's a bungee jumper on a last nerve right there. This is your child, too. You are not babysitting. I pay a babysitter. Mm-hmm. This is your baby. You are doing your duty.
Yeah. You are parenting.
There you go.
Yes.
I have to say, I've seen a lot more of this generation of men more like
absolutely.
That. My generation, the men did the men thing and the girls did the diapers. Nowadays, I see a lot more of the younger men, my son included, was not brought up that way. Mom did the thing and dad did the deal.
Right.
But he has changed with culture and has been a great helper to you.
Oh,
with
absolutely,
all of those kids.
He has.
And
absolutely.
Same with James, actually.
Yeah.
You know, been
yeah,
great,
big
great,
time.
Great.
So, talking about social etiquette, though, if somebody per se is in your space or invading your area, how do you politely tell them that
Good
they
question.
Are being rude?
Good question.
Or do you tell them that they're being rude, or do you just stare them down?
There's probably a couple of ways you can do it. I think if they can pick up what you're throwing down, body language can really speak volumes.
Don't forget that's 97% of communication.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, that coupled with, excuse me, I need to check out. You know, the eye contact. Excuse me.
I told you the voice also. I mean, you had me right there. I would not have questioned that a second time. I'm done, man.
I think, though, to bounce off of that, I think there is something that was taught a lot of time to girls, to women, that we do not have a voice when it comes to when it comes to men doing those actions to us, getting in our boundaries.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're taught to keep quiet, just let him do his thing, he'll move on kind of thing. Be loud.
Right. Women do it too.
Be loud.
Women can do it too.
You know, and I'm talking in extreme cases, mostly. You know, recently I went to a theme park where me and my friends, we were actually watched and stalked by two men. And our initial reactions were to wait until we could find one of our guides, our tour guides and everything, and tell him at the end of everything. And then at that point, it was unresponsive. It was, well, we can't really do anything. They're gone now sort of situation. We called security, let security know the description of the men and everything like that. But it's a giant theme park. They're gone.
Right.
Let's be honest. We're never going to find them. And looking back at the situation now, I think to myself, why didn't I just turn around and say, why are you walking beside us? Why are you stalking us? Why are you taking pictures of us and the other people in this group?
Goodness.
Why can't, you know, I think it's also socially etiquette and socially appropriate that in those cases, it is okay to be loud.
Yeah.
Oh, that.
And stand your ground.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely.
To help kind of balance what you're referring to, there's a major difference between the conversation that says whether or not you're being polite and the conversation that says whether or not you are being safe and somebody else is being inappropriate around you.
Absolutely.
Yes.
There's a whole other world of conversation that says be loud, scream loud, bite hard.
If you're
being, you know, grabbed or stalked, or there's this whole other area.
Yeah,
and so a
story.
Person listening in might be thinking, well, that's another topic, but not necessarily, and here's why. Because if you're teaching your children, always be polite, always do the right thing, always say please and thank you and all this stuff, also make sure to let them know there are exceptions to
there
that.
There are boundaries. Right.
There's whole stranger danger boundary side that you have to bring in order to bring balance to the conversation, because what you don't want to do is raise a young girl who will allow her personal bubble to be inappropriately breached.
Yes.
Right.
Because of the fact that she was raised to be polite and don't say anything.
Yes.
And like, you know, like when I was saying in last week, when my mom would go, shh, that's not a time that mama would said shh.
Right.
Yes.
That was the time that Mama Bear would have pulled out the claws and it would have been game on. So there's a moment.
Yes.
And so what you're saying is there is a moment.
There is
where we no longer talk about what is polite
time
and
place.
We talk about protect yourself.
Yeah. Yes. Time and place, for sure.
Absolutely. Yep. We do need to go to a really quick break. We'll be right back.
Are you one of those girls that struggle trying to find the right clothes to wear? Or maybe you're still grappling to achieve that perfect makeup look that suits your style? We'll blossom into a new you this spring season with the Simply His Spring Bundle and receive Candace Cameron Bure's book, Staying Stylish. Discover new ideas to elevate your personal style and closet without breaking the bank. Insider secrets for gorgeous skin, hair, and makeup with easy-to-follow tutorials. Find on-the-go strategies for staying fit and eating well, and personal inspiration for nurturing your faith and finding balance, plus so much more. Start that spring cleaning with a boost from our fairly traded, certified organic, lightly roasted,
Island Girl Coffee. This Costa Rican coffee was named by our wonderful Simply His host, Catherine, who says one sip of this coffee has her stepping back in time to her childhood growing up on the islands as a missionary kid. Also included in this package is another one of our host's favorite picks, our Simply His ceramic mug in a beautiful spring shade of purple. And lastly, enjoy a warm spring day with the new Simply His Southern Peach Tea. This fully organic, herbicide and pesticide-free loose leaf tea is a refreshing cup of happiness and is sure to have you relaxing while you watch those gorgeous gardens grow. The Simply His Spring Bundle is available now. With a retail value of over $50, yours now for only $40 plus shipping and handling? Get yours today at skywatchtvstore.com or call 844-750-4985. Don't miss out!
Continuing our discussion on social etiquette. So one of my bigger pet peeves that I always did this, and it was so cute because the servers would always tell me, you don't have to do that. But when we would go to a restaurant, and you know, when your toddler slash baby is super little, there's a whole puddle of stuff
crackers
up underneath the high chair at the restaurant, right? I would always take the time to clean up as much of that stuff so I'm not leaving it for the server, exactly. Because the server is a person too, and they don't want to have to be touching all of the stuff. And and I know mom does this too. Whenever we go to a restaurant, we always get like the plates and try to stack them so it's really easy for the server to grab them, right, and that there's not a bunch of nasty stuff on the table, and help your servers out.
Right.
Yes.
That's such a nice etiquette thing to do. Yeah. You know,
service industry is so hard anyway.
It is so hard.
Because they get bombarded with people constantly that are not cognizant enough to continue to make them run back and forth and back and forth and run, go, do. And then they've got other, you're not the only table that they have.
Yes. You
know, it's not.
No, it's not. And tip well.
Yeah. Tip well. That's another one.
But you never know what's going on in their lives either.
Exactly.
This
could
be your opportunity to minister to somebody, you know.
Absolutely.
Susie Q, who's working at Steak and Shake,
You
know, serving your table and five others, and the five others are nagging on her to get this and this and making them run back and forth to grab little things, is also way in debt. Right. And, you know, she's on her last leg. She's fighting every day to wake up in the morning.
And she woke up this morning saying, God, if you're there, will you show me?
Exactly.
That's so good.
And you could be that changing point in her life. That one kind act of you know, simply doing that and taking the chance to minister to her and making sure that she knows that she has an importance in her life and in this world.
Yeah.
Taking an interest in them.
Yes.
And it doesn't hurt. Always take the time to build others up.
Absolutely.
That is how we show God's love. That's how you build somebody else up, because you might be, like you're saying, the only bright light that they had for that day. Yep. That's happened to Joe and I multiple times, just because we were really nice to our waitress. Then she kind of gravitates and she's like, hey, they're really treating me really well.
Yeah.
And they're acting so nice and kind to me. And then she'll like let something out. Oh, I'm having a really hard day. Thank you for being so understanding. Or, you know, the order came out wrong. Who cares? It's a food order.
So, and how much
who cares?
Does that tell you? Because most of us anymore, you know, like we talk about, how are you doing? No, how are you feeling?
Yes.
You know, that she is going, or he is going, to share with you something that is personal, because they feel like, they see me. I'm really a human.
Yes. Oh,
Yes.
You know? Yes.
Yeah. And how much more powerful is that stamp that you've put on that day when they were rude to you first and you responded in kindness?
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. You know, we hear all the time in society, sometimes it's it's from a verse, like, a kind answer turneth away wrath. Yeah. Sometimes it's just somebody saying, you know, turn the other cheek. Well, that's from the Bible too. A lot of the people in the world today probably don't know that. But, you know, there's all these little things that we hear, and it's almost like semantic satiation, which is a very strange phenomenon where you hear a word over and over and over again mm-hmm. to the point that it's lost all meaning.
Mm. Yes.
It's almost like a societal semantic satiation. A kind answer turneth away wrath. And in our flesh, we want to go, yeah, blah, 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 I've heard that. Mm. But this guy was mean. You didn't understand.
Yeah.
I was pumping gas, and he came up. Yeah, but a kind answer turneth away wrath.
Right.
Imagine the moment, you know, what you said a minute ago, you're almost humanizing that person and giving them an identity in your eyes when you can talk to them by name and be polite to them. Yeah. What if they're rude first and you're still polite?
Absolutely.
Yes.
I mean, first they're going to wonder for just a split second if you're doing a bit. Because it's so rare that somebody would respond to rudeness with kindness.
Right.
That when you do, I do it a lot in church. Oh, my word. Back when we did the physical conferences, there was one I preached at, and me being a woman preacher, boy, I had every single, mom's my witness, every single guy in the hallway stopping me and pulling me by the arm, and literally physically, yes, pulling me by the arm aside and telling me, sister so-and-so, I'll be praying for you. And you know what they mean when they say that. They don't mean they're going to be praying.
No.
What they mean is they're going to be condemning me in their conversations with the Lord earlier, because they have arrived in all their theology and so on and so forth. But every time I responded with, thank you so much for your prayers. Of course, there was a little side to that I was playing stupid, because I know that that's not what they meant they were going to do.
Right.
But it was shocking to them. And we saw it over and over and over again all weekend in 2019. Yeah. That there were some of these guys that were like, oh, what do I do with that?
Yeah.
She's not the raging feminist I thought she was.
Oh, exactly.
She's not going to come back to me and start quoting scripture and saying this Greek and this Hebrew. And no, it just flowed. It led to more than one gentleman over the weekend coming to me and saying, I was wrong. I've actually cracked your book open, and I read some of the things that Paul, not you, Paul said in the Greek. Thank you very much, not Donna Howell. Paul said in the Greek. And I was wrong, and I didn't realize that I was, you know, but that open-mindedness and that now we're part of the body together, right?
It
happened because they were rude to me, and I responded in kind.
Kind.
Yes. Help them with kindness. And more than that, it does not cost you anything to be kind to another person.
No, it does
not. No matter the circumstances.
Absolutely.
So it's more than just social etiquette. You're actually talking about ministry here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. And that is what the Great Commission is all about, right?
Yeah, for sure.
It's about
That's right.
It is. Yeah. It absolutely is. So we are all out of time. I really hope that you guys enjoyed this two-part series. Did you guys enjoy this? It's been very informative. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you next week in the Simply His Coffee Shop. Yeah.